It's good to see everyone here this evening. I invite you to take your Bibles with me and turn to Romans 10. And I do thank the session for the opportunity to bring forth the word of the Lord this evening. Romans 10 and verse 13, let us hear the word of the Lord together. Romans 10 and verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. One other passage, Romans 15 and verse 20 and 21. Romans 15, verse 20 and 21. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. We trust that God will add his blessing to the reading of his own holy and errant and infallible word. Let us unite our hearts together for another brief word of prayer. Father in heaven, I do pray that as I present this burden tonight, that God, that thou wouldst give me grace and help, and that, Lord, that thy people would pray for such a needy place, God, where it is barren, that, oh God, that you would do a work tonight. God, we ask you to bless preacher and congregation alike. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So as you see on the screen behind me, I've entitled this presentation, Operation Reach Northeast. How shall they hear without a preacher? And tonight what I want to share with you is not really a sermon. It's really a burden. That's what I want to share with you tonight. And here we find ourselves in Greenville, South Carolina, in the belt buckle of the Bible Belt. Around us there are hundreds of churches within this county that preach the gospel. Now we may not agree with everything and with every point of doctrine, but gospel light abounds. And I can not only say that about South Carolina, I can say that about Mississippi where I have lived, gospel light abounds. But if you were to leave this county and go north, east, or south, and west in the southern states, you would find, as I said, more of the same. As an outsider coming into South Carolina, I declare that you are blessed to have such measure of light. But this is not the case from where I am from in the state of Maine. New England was once a bastion of light and hope of the gospel. But now, recent polls have showed that New England is the least churched states in the entirety of the Union. Four New England states are ranked as the least religious out of all the churches throughout, the least religious of all the states. Number four is the state of Massachusetts at 28% religious. Whatever religious means. Number three is the state of Maine, ranked at 27% religious. Number two is the state of New Hampshire at 24% religious. And Vermont as number one at 22% religious. Let me compare this with the state of Mississippi. Mississippi is considered the most religious state with 61% of the people claiming to be religious. My friend, the greatest need in the United States is in these New England states that I've just spoken to you about. There is a great need. And I beg you, I know how it is. I lived when I moved to Mississippi, and I remember them railing against the liberal people in the New England states and their liberal politics. I would encourage you, don't rail against them. Pray that God would do a work in that particular area. Here's a man that you may have heard of, Cotton Mather. Cotton Mather was a congregational minister that came to the state of Massachusetts that was mightily used of the Lord in the congregational movement. And he was actually used in seeing a church planted that we will later talk about on a little island off the coast of Maine called Matinicus, 20 miles off the coast. But there are great men that God has used in New England in days gone by, like men like Jonathan Edwards. And here is a man that you have probably never heard of unless I have spoken to you about him. And I normally carry a picture of him in my preaching Bible. Reverend Isaac Case was perhaps the greatest, I believe, church planter that America has ever seen. You can read about him in the history of the Baptist in Maine. He was a Reformed Baptist preacher, and he planted over 350 churches in the state of Maine and in New Brunswick and in Nova Scotia in the early 1800s through the mid-1800s. He was mightily used of the Lord. So there were men that God has mightily used through New England. But as you drive around New England, you will find congregational churches in virtually every town. There once was a thriving gospel emphasis, but now the gospel sounds no longer. These beautiful white buildings with their lovely white steeples that reach up towards the heavens, but now these churches in the past 100 years have apostatized. They now fly their rainbow flags and preach social justice and deny the inerrancy of Scripture and ordain women and homosexuals to the gospel ministry. The particular town in which I lived at in Fort Kent, right on the front of the congregational church, there was a rainbow flag saying, "Justice for all people." And I don't have the time to show you all the pictures of the various churches throughout New England with all their rainbow flags in which they fly. The mainline Baptist churches have also been lost to liberalism. The American Baptist Church, which is a large Baptist denomination from which the Southern Baptist Convention actually pulled from in the late 1800s, in the mid-1800s, the American Baptist Church now ordains women. And then the slide previously, you saw that there was a congregational church and an American Baptist church that are combined together, and they're promoting their liberal agenda and their LGBTQ movement acceptance. The mainline Presbyterian church is liberal, the PCUSA, and it has very little presence. The United Methodist Church has a presence and has apostatized as well. So as a student, since I have come here, I have prayed about many things. And I have talked with Pastor Tomasian about many things that he could testify about. I have prayed about missions work in the south of Ireland, particularly this particular little town in the south of Ireland called Sligo, because I saw such a need in the south of Ireland with no churches and such a strong presence of Catholicism and so little preaching of the gospel. And I said, "Lord, would you send me to Ireland? Is that your will?" I prayed about Germany, Wittenberg, Germany. It's amazing. You can go online. You can search Wittenberg, Germany. Many of you know that that is the place where Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the Catholic church doors. And I could not find a single gospel preaching church of any kind in Wittenberg, Germany. Over 40,000 people live there. None. I prayed about Sweden and Norway and other places. And there are great needs in all of these places. I have prayed about Quebec City and the province of Quebec. But unfortunately, because of the present requirements, the Lord has shut the doors for me to cross into the Maritime provinces. You can drive all through Quebec and find very little gospel witness. You can drive across New Brunswick and find very little gospel witness. You could go then to Nova Scotia and find very little gospel witness. You could go to Newfoundland and Labrador and find little gospel witness. And you can go to Prince Edward Island and find the same as well. I have prayed about many things. I have even prayed about vacant churches within our denomination. I've preached at several of these, but yet the Lord has not led me in any of those particular directions. And just because there is a need does not justify a call. God must give a man a burden for a people. God must birth a ministry within a man and put a calling upon a man. I've seen it too many times. When a man goes to a place just because there's a need and he does not have a heart for the people to whom he preaches, it cannot be that way, my friend. God must give a man a burden for a particular people. And providing that I satisfy the requirements of the presbytery, my burden lies in New England. I cannot imagine living anywhere else, ministering anywhere else, other than this needy place where God has burdened my particular heart. Now you may say, John, New England, that is the graveyard of preachers and is far too gone. I refuse to believe that for a single minute. Absolutely not. When I was in Louisiana 10 years ago and I served as an assistant pastor at a little Baptist church down there outside of Baton Rouge, I remember I was reading in my Bible Romans 15, 20 and 21. And it is those two verses that God placed and deposited into my soul that He will build a church where He is not named. That there are people that have not heard, and they're going to hear. There are people that have not yet seen, and they're going to see the truth of the gospel. That was the promise that God gave to me. And as I have prayed about these many things, and I have been here for almost, I don't know how long I've been here, but I think I've been here for about over a year and a half. I have been here, and I have prayed, and I have sought the Lord about what He would have me to do. But these verses continually come into my mind and reconfirm to me what the Lord has already made clear 10 years ago when He deposited these verses into my soul. When I close my eyes to sleep, I think about them. When I meditate on the Word, my mind goes out to them. When I pray, I weep for them. How can they call on the Lord if they have no preacher? They cannot. I want to take you on a journey with me to New England. And I want you to see, I want you to feel the need that exists in this part of the country. First, I want you to come with me to the state of Massachusetts. We leave Greenville, South Carolina. We travel 14 hours north to a little city of North Adams on the western side of the state of Massachusetts. It is just south of Vermont and just east of New York State. It is in the beautiful Berkshire Mountains of Massachusetts. To the east of North Adams is the city of Adams, and to the west of this is Williamstown. These three cities, right next to each other, have a total population of 28,000 people. There are three churches that I found in this area that are conservative gospel preaching churches. There's one Independent Baptist Church in North Adams, one Southern Baptist Church in Adams, and one Bible Church in Williamstown. Think about it. 28,500 people, and they only have three churches. I don't even know if you may be comfortable going to one of them. But there's only three churches, not a single Reformed work in any of these towns. What town can you drive through throughout the biblical South of 28,000 people and only find three churches that preach the gospel. My friend, you will find much more than that. Many in these cities are completely unreached with the gospel. I want to bring you to another town south of North Adams, to the city of Pittsfield, 45 minutes south of North Adams. Pittsfield is a city of 44,000 people. It is a hub of the Berkshire Mountain area. It prides itself on being liberal and very welcoming to the LGBTQ movement. And this city lacks gospel witness. There's one independent Baptist church, a very small church that is there. And there's one, I say, quote, Reformed work. They are part of the CCCC. It is a supposedly a conservative congregational movement, but they allow their churches to for men in the pulpit to be Arminian or Calvinist, and depending on the church, you can ordain a woman if you so choose. And so I don't really consider the work a Reformed work. So let me just say, let's just say that out of these two churches I mentioned to you in Pittsfield, that 200 people go to these churches, and I believe that would be very generous. That means that there are still 43,800 people that are still completely unreached. Two churches is unacceptable in a city this large. They need someone to tell them of Christ. I want you to now travel with me east to a city that is on the outskirts of Springfield, Mass. It is actually north of Springfield, Mass. It is a suburb. It is called Amherst, Massachusetts. 39,263 people. How many conservative, Baptist, Bible, Reformed churches do you think are in a city of 39,263 people? There's not three. There's not two. There's not even one. There's nothing. Zero gospel preaching church that I could find in the city of Amherst, Massachusetts. That is unacceptable. How can it be that we are living in the 21st century in America where there is a city with 39,000 people without anybody that will tell them of Jesus? Someone must go and tell these people about Christ. Think about it. A person could go and reach 39,000 people who likely have never ever heard of Jesus. Never heard a true presentation of the gospel. There is no church for these people to go to. And what a need for a man to pioneer work in a city like this. But this city, as most cities in New England, comes with a cost. If you want to live in a city like this, or anywhere close to Massachusetts, close to Boston, a home's going to cost you around $500,000 to $700,000. That's how much it's going to cost for you to go to Amherst and start a church. That's how much, and rent is astronomical. So, but can we really put a value on a soul? Are we prepared to say that the cost is too great for a man to go and reach these people for Christ? We cannot. Someone must tell these people of Christ who is mighty to save. I want to also share with you, as we go further east in Massachusetts to the city of Milford and Bellingham and Franklin, Massachusetts, these cities have a total population of 80,585 people with only three gospel-preaching churches. Again, how many churches would be in a city this size in the biblical South? More than you could number. Also, I want to bring you to another city, the city of Lowell, Massachusetts. North of Milford, it is about 40 minutes or so northwest of Boston. 115,000 people live in this city. There is only one small independent Baptist church and one very small contemporary Southern Baptist church. 115,000 people. Who will go and tell these people of Jesus? Someone needs to go. There is a real need that I'm sharing to you about New England tonight. I want you to now come with me to the state of Vermont. Our time is slipping away, so I got to rush through some of these things. I wish I could take longer, but I know we have to get to prayer tonight. But the state of Vermont, as of the 2020 census, there's about 640,000 people that live in Vermont. In the state of Vermont, 61.3% of the people that live in the state of Vermont live in towns of 2,500 people and less. So you're talking about almost 400,000 people in the state live in towns of 2,500 people and less, which makes Vermont one of the most rural states in the United States. But it also is the least church state in the entirety of the United States. It is the most needy state in the United States. And if you were to take a map of Vermont and you were to put it in front of you and you were to close your eyes and randomly point, there would be a need for a church. There is virtually a need everywhere. You say, where are the needs? Well, there's a need for small town church planting. There is a need for a man to go to these small towns and go to these towns of 5,000, 6,000, 3,000, and to pioneer works in these small communities. It's something I'm familiar with. We have done that in northern Maine, in a town of 4,100 people. But my friend, God sees the souls and He sees the need. The need is just as great in the little town of Johnson, Vermont, a town of 3,400 people, as it is in the Big Apple in New York City, of 8.8 million people. Just because there is more people does not mean that there necessarily needs a man needs to go there more than he needs to go to Johnson, Vermont. Every soul is valuable in the eyes of God. Can you put a value on a soul? Many people say, well, if you go to the big city, then you'll have more people in your church. Well, that's not necessarily true. I've been to little country churches in the middle of nowhere that God has greatly blessed. And it seems like all the people come out of the woodwork and you wonder where they all came from. And God is able to build a church. The gospel must be brought to where these people are. And churches can be built in rural areas. And I declare to you, must be built in order to fulfill the Great Commission. In order for the knowledge of God to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea, rural areas must be reached. We cannot forget the rural areas. Yes, we must focus on the cities, but we cannot forget those in small communities. The most populous city in Vermont is Burlington, with a population of 44,000 people. That's the largest city. That's more than less than half the population here in Greenville. And Vermont is utterly barren. There is town after town and village after village with no solid gospel witness. A person could go to a town of 3,000, 5,000 people and you could literally pastor a town or a village. You could literally do it. Or to go somewhere and spend your life pointing to people to Christ who have never heard. Jim Elliot was right when he said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." The city of Stowe, 5,000 people, is the greatest tourist, one of the greatest tourist attractions in New England for its skiing and winter activities. But that whole entire area, north of the capital of Montpelier, there is a 30-minute radius area that combines about 30,000 people. And in that 30-minute radius, there is not a single gospel preaching church of any kind. And we're talking about little towns of 5,000. Drive 15 minutes down the road, here's another little town of 3,500. You drive another 15 minutes down the road, and there's another town of 4,000. And there's no one in these areas to speak the gospel. Someone must go to these people and share the gospel with them. There are some Reformed churches in this state, but they are very few. There is one OPC church in Barrie, Vermont. And I was reading upon on their website that people travel over 50 miles from all over the state of Vermont to travel to hear preaching at this one church. 50 miles. There are two PCA churches in Burlington and St. Albans. There is a great need here in Vermont. Does not Vermont need preaching? Certainly it does. I want you to also see with me a couple of these cities. There is the town of Johnson, as we have said. There is Cambridge, Vermont, these various places. And we now come to Connecticut. Just south of Massachusetts is Connecticut. And I want to take you to the city of Norwich, Connecticut, on the east side of the state. Norwich has approximately 40,000 people that live there. And from what I could find, I did not find a single conservative Bible preaching church at all. Not a single one. And 40,000 people. This is a city with great need. Who will go and tell them of Christ? There are some works, yes, that are 20 minutes away from the city, but there is a need for something within the city. You also have the city that is just west, northwest of Hartford in Simsbury, Connecticut. 24,500 people with no conservative gospel preaching work for 24,000 people. We come next to the state of New Hampshire. And there are great needs across this state. It could very well be said the same thing about New Hampshire that I said about Vermont. You could almost close your eyes and point anywhere, and there would be a need for a church in New Hampshire. In particular, I want to bring before you the city of Keene. It's 23,000 people. There's one evangelical free church there, one non-denominational contemporary church, but no solid conservative preaching church in the city of Keene. There is a great need. And I bring before you my favorite state. Welcome to Maine, the way life should be. And I bring before you the state of Maine. But the state of Maine has great needs as well. Perhaps one of the most pressing needs that the state of Maine has that has been forgotten are the islands that lie off the coast of Maine. These islands are inhabited by the lobster fishermen industry. And many of these islands are small, but some are fairly large and what I would think would be large, maybe not to you. But the island of Vinyl Haven is the largest island off the coast of Maine that has 1,279 people, only one independent Baptist church. Just north of Vinyl Haven is the island of North Haven, with no church, 355 people. Just off the coast of the city of Portland, Maine, there is an island called Peaks Island, 950 people, no gospel witness. Here is a church that is located in Peaks Island. It is a congregational church. And as you can see, they have the wonderful decorated rainbow flag upon the outside of their church building. And the other church building they have is a Unitarian Universalist church. They're neither Unitarian nor are they Universalist. They just believe whatever they want to believe. And so there is a great need. No solid gospel preaching church on an island of 950 people. Someone must tell them of Christ. There is this little island that I spoke to you about earlier that Cotton Mather was greatly influenced with. By bringing the gospel to Matinicus, it is an island 20 miles off the coast of Maine. You can only get there by ferry once a month, or you have to get there by airplane. Only 90 people live on this island. 90. They have a church building that they don't even use. But that's somewhere someone could go, buy a home, live amongst the people, and reach them for Christ. That's an island that the entire island could come to Christ and be in that building. I believe God could do it. You say, well, I don't really know. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Those people need Christ just as much as anyone else. I bring before you also needs in northern Maine. The city of Ashland, about 1,200 people, was about an hour south of where I live. In Fort Kent, there is zero gospel preaching witness in Ashland. There's a Christian Advent Church that believes in the doctrine of annihilationalism, which is not a good doctrine to believe in. They do not believe in the doctrine of everlasting punishment. There's also a need in Eagle Lake, Maine, right outside, about 30 minutes south of where we lived in Fort Kent. About 1,000 people lived there. A great need of a gospel work. The city of Patton and the surrounding area has around 5,000 people, a great need of a gospel work. You go to the coast to Kennebunk, great needs for works all along the coast. And you could take, I could take you to many little towns all across the state of Maine. There's a great need in all these places. But to me, there is something thrilling. There is something exciting about going to uncharted territories. I've always been burdened about preaching Christ, particularly where He has not been named. This is the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I shared with you several towns that does not have a single gospel preaching witness. That is a prime candidate for someone to go there, erect the banner of the gospel, and believe by faith that God will build His church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. How can it be that there are still places in the United States where there are no churches? How can it be? We must open our eyes and beg that God would send men. And sometimes I've asked God the question, could He really use me? I'm really a nobody, as someone has said, I'm a nobody. Trying to tell everybody about somebody that can save anybody that will call upon the name of the Lord. Adrian Rogers said it this way: there's a lot of people that can preach the gospel better than I can, but no one can preach a better gospel than I can, because there's only one. God will bless it. God will honor it. So some things I ask you to pray about. Next week, Lord willing, when gas is $5.50, I'll be traveling up to New England on a survey trip, and I'm pleading that you would pray that God would give me guidance. These places I've shared with you, not all of them, but many of them I plan to visit. Jeremiah said in Lamentation, mine eye affecteth mine heart. And my prayer is that God would so make it clear to me exactly where and what particular city that He would unite me with to go and to preach the gospel. Pray with me that God would make His will very plain. I ask you to pray not only for me, but I ask you to pray if God would have you be involved in something like this. What would God have you to do? Not just me. But does God want you to do something in particular? Is God tonight burdening your heart about the need that is in New England? If so, are you willing to do something about it? Pray and ask God what He would have you to do in particular. Now, you may say your expectations are too large. I'm afraid that they're far too small. As our pastor says often, including Thomas Chalmers, regardless of how large, your vision is too small. This quote really sums up everything I could say tonight. John Keith Falconer said this, "I only have one candle of life to burn, and I would rather burn it out in a land flooded with darkness than a land flooded with light." That is the burden of my heart tonight. I would rather go and burn my light in a land flooded with darkness than a land flooded with light. The fields are ripe, but the laborers are few. And when I was in Maine, I found this hymn that was written by Reverend William Sleeper, who pastored a congregational church in Sherman, Maine, and also in Massachusetts. And he expresses what is in my heart. He says this in his hymn, "The waiting field is large and white, and doth the sickle's keen invite. Yea, many drooping plants I see. My Father's work is pressing me. My Father's work is pressing me, and I must do it faithfully. The reapers on the field are few, and I to Jesus must be true. The reapers in the field are few, with willing hearts and brave and true. Help must be summoned speedily. My Father's work is pressing me. The sickle's rough and dull with dust, lie careless trodden in the dust. Sharpened and furbished must they be. My Father's work is pressing me. Let not the ripened grain be lost. Before the winter sleet and frost, I must be garnered faithfully. My Father's work is pressing me." Amen.